knee-deep into March Madness. We're going to talk about life as a sports fan this morning. Do you spend weekends obsessing over your team's wins and losses? Do you constantly check your fantasy basketball scores and buy jerseys of your favorite players? Why do we care so much about sports, and how does being a fan affect our lives? In his new book, Fans, How Watching Sports Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Understanding, award-winning journalist Larry Olmsted makes the case that the more you identify with a sports team, the better your social, psychological, and physical health, the more meaningful your relationships, and the better connected and happier you are. So in other words, you become like perfect. Using brand new research and exclusive interviews with fans and experts around the world, Olmsted presents a game-changing look into why being a fan is good for us, both as individuals and as a society. We welcome Larry Olmsted to the roundtable. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's really nice to have you on the program. Of course, yesterday, you know, we bracketologists everywhere are figuring things out now. And so, as I mentioned in the introduction, we're knee-deep into March Madness. It seems like a perfect time to talk to you about this, of why we care so much. I found the book fascinating because it really does give you a sense of, oh, okay, what I'm doing isn't that silly, which sometimes I feel that way. Like, oh, maybe I, you know, should just wear normal clothes and not wear all of these hats and jerseys and such. Give us a sense of how you came to this idea and ultimately the thesis behind the book.
Well, to be honest, I started with sort of the opposite point of view. I had gone to a baseball game and saw a couple who had two young kids dressed in T-shirts with obscenities directed at the other team.
Yeah.
And I left the game really disappointed and thinking, you know, how can people do this in, you know, with their little kids in public? And what's wrong? Is there something about sports fandom that makes us crazy? And, you know, I'm curious and research and write books on different topics. So I decided to dive into the data. And as soon as I did, I saw that that was completely wrong and that sports fandom is sort of overwhelmingly beneficial to us. And it occurred to me that there were like 45,000 other people at the stadium that I didn't notice because their most sports fans are normal, well-adjusted, nice people. And, you know, large groups, there's always bad apples. These outliers stood out. But it led me to this discovery.
So the discovery being what? What have you discovered here of how good it is to be a sports fan, not only, as I said, as for us personally, but to help our society?
Absolutely. I mean, personally, the biggest benefits are happiness in the form of mental health. And there have been hundreds of studies done around the world that prove pretty much unquestionably that sports fans enjoy benefits such as lower rates of depression, higher self-esteem, more satisfied social lives, are less lonely, more extroverted, all of which are considered positives than non-sports fans. But to me, the real surprise was the benefit to society that goes beyond that. And this is where I think, you know, if you're a sports fan, of course you're going to read this book and like it and think and relate to things in it. But what I want is for the non-sports fans to realize that, you know, sports fandom has created a better world that we live in and reap the benefits, even if you never watch a game. And those are things like the advance of the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, right now the social justice movement, the power of sports in post-traumatic healing following natural and man-made disasters, and even the role of sports fandom, surprisingly vital role in the peace process and nation building, global reconciliation. So it touches a lot of tiers of our lives that people don't think about.
When it comes to what makes a fan, I mean, I think this is something that people often argue about too. Are you really a fan? So how do you define it?
Well, so the psychologists that I talk to who do these studies, they define fans based on you sort of regularly following and supporting a team, at least one team, though the average fan supports closer to six. But that sort of it makes it easier for them to do the studies and quantify it, but sort of dismisses fans of individual sports such as tennis and golf and swimming. For my purposes, if you tell me you're a sports fan, that's good enough. I believe you. You don't have to prove it to me.
Yeah, I remember Joe Queenan, the author, wrote a book several years ago about basically saying that, you know, if you're if you're from Philadelphia and you're supporting, let's say, Pittsburgh, that you're doing a disservice. It doesn't matter to you, right? It doesn't matter if you're if you live in New York and you are supporting, let's say, a New England team, that's okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly, you know, the world has become a much more globalized place throughout history, and the same is true for sports. I mean, I remember when you couldn't watch a lot of games, even local games, and they would be blacked out. You know, the way we consume sports has really changed. It was TBS that made the Atlanta Braves the first truly nationally available baseball team, and that wasn't that long ago. But now you have, right, you know, streaming and cable and satellite and all these ways. So I think people are more exposed to teams from different places, and people are more mobile. You know, people move.
So let's talk for a moment about just this overall idea of March Madness, because we're in it now, and it's a good way of kind of explaining fans and how it helps us. Yes, this year is weird, as it has been for all sports, but why is this particular phenomenon, NCAA, March Madness, such a big deal?
Well, I think, I mean, part of it is, you know, you represent so many different colleges. And what you were saying, the reason most people, well, people don't really choose their sports teams. They think they do, like they think they choose religion, but it's based on where they're born and what their parents believed. But college sports are different from that because it's mostly based on where you went to college, which can have, in many cases, no relation to where you're from. And the size of the field, I mean, there's no other playoff situation where you start with 64 teams. And it goes so rapid fire. So you have a lot of people representing diverse opinions and very different fan bases all across the country that are not tied to geography watching a very fast and action-filled process. So I think it's just sort of like every other kind of sports playoffs on steroids.
Right. And we get people who are not, I mean, one of the things I find fascinating about this time is we get people who normally perhaps wouldn't be quote-unquote fans that become fans because they have brackets, they're interested, they're playing with the office or friends or whatever, and it's something that is boiled down to, okay, 64, here you go, have at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in some ways it's similar to the Olympics when they come up this summer, which is another event that draws people that maybe wouldn't otherwise watch because it's more of a spectacle and a little bit different. But it's interesting because when I do ask, you know, you ask me about how I identify fans, and you know, if people tell me they're fans, that's good enough. But what the opposite is, people often say, oh, like, I'm not that big a sports fan. And then they say, I only watch and reel off, you know, 15 different right. things, like March Madness. So I think even a lot of people who don't think they're fans really are at heart.
Well, don't you think, I mean, I'm putting words into your mouth, and I don't mean to do that, or at least that isn't my intention in asking this question. However, it seems to me that that a lot of this would come out, a lot of this book would come out of what it was like for several months in the spring and summer of 2020 when we didn't have any sports and we were all just like, oh my God, this is what this is like without sports. And quite frankly, to use a term that most athletes use, this sucks.
Well, I mean, you know, I had pretty much finished the book before the pandemic started. But, you know, I had time then to go back and talk to some more psychologists and revisit elements related to the absence of sports, which had never really happened before, except right. for, you know, 10 days after 9/11 in this country, but certainly never on a global scale or the length that we had. And it was sort of basically a living laboratory for a lot of the ideas in the book. And a lot of the, you know, hundreds of fans that I've spoken to over the years researching it were contacting me and saying, oh my God, I've never watched as much sports as I have in the past year once they came back. And a lot of the ideas I had around the post-traumatic community feel of sports apply to the pandemic as well. You know, it gave us sort of something to ease our suffering while locked down at home.
when it comes to, I mean, as you said, sports went away after 9/11 for 10 days, but we all knew they were coming back. And you know, with this, it's still affecting sports, and it's even, I mean, obviously has a dramatic effect on the NCAA and March Madness. So it certainly is there. And for the real fans, I mean, this will be to use a Hall of Fame term, you know, an asterisk year, because nothing is normal, right? We don't have all of the same things going that we had before.
Absolutely. And in terms of the mental health benefits and the community effects of fandom, there is a real importance to having fans at the games, in the stands. That's one of the things that makes sports different than other forms of entertainment fandom, like Harry Potter or, you know, vampires, whatever it is. But short term, I mean, I think we're going to survive not even a year, because a lot of sports have fans, have already come back, yeah, even in smaller quantities, have proven, you know, to be sort of effective. But, you know, so if it was forever that there were not going to be people attending live sports, that would make a really big impact. But I think the ability to watch any sports, the benefits of that outweighed the absence of the crowd. And I actually wrote an op-ed about this for the New York Daily News, some of the things that we learned about the pandemic through sports. I mean, you know, the NBA and NHL came back in these bubbles. That was a totally novel idea at the time. Changed the way the game was played. But before that, nobody used the word bubble or pod. And that sort of, you know, became a metaphor for our normal lives being safe at home. The NFL was, you know, fining really large amounts of money for coaches not wearing their masks on TV. Even watching a Major League Baseball game with the cardboard cutouts, you know, in the stands was a reminder of, you know, the importance of social distancing. And I felt that, you know, sports did a lot through its comeback to reinforce the important, you know, safety messages around COVID.
Is it different to be a fan of a team versus being a fan of a particular athlete? Meaning that it kind of comes and goes. And I guess I'm thinking mostly about somebody like Tiger Woods, who has had his ups and downs, and you know, currently is recuperating after a horrific car crash. But you know, is that different in putting your fan creds on the line for one person?
It is definitely different, because that one person sooner or later will not play. I mean, Tiger Woods' career may be over, but even if it's not, it will be over at some point in the, you know, foreseeable future, whereas presumably the Jets will still be playing 100 years from now, and right, you know, maybe we'll have won something by then. But it's more the individual sport. So if you're a golf fan, maybe Tiger Woods is your favorite, but hopefully, you know, you'll still follow golf once, you know, he kind of comes and goes. But, you know, the thing about the individual athletes is they do have the potential to more fully change our perceptions. I mean, Tiger Woods fueled a huge increase in the number of people playing golf. Lance Armstrong fueled a huge increase in the number of people cycling. Michael Phelps fueled a huge increase in the number of people who swim. Whereas, you know, you can love NFL football, but chances are you're never, on any given Sunday, you are not going to go out and buy a helmet and go out and get hit.
You know, the book is lovely. It's because it does open this window into who we are and what we enjoy. But it also brings something that I think sometimes we forget, even as fans, of just how fun all this is, being a sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully I make the argument that sports fandom is pretty much the biggest social structure in the world, comparable with, if not bigger than, religion, certainly more popular than politics or any other kind of belonging to, yep, a group. And we wouldn't do it universally across cultures, across centuries, across different sports, if it wasn't fun.
The name of the book, Fans, How Watching Sports Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Understanding. Larry Olmsted, a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.